Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, June 10th, 2013, and today we are continuing to discuss the snooping by the National Security Agency and the monitoring of phone calls and email transmissions and internet searches and so forth by the National Security Agency of every single person in America. And we know from our previous discussions of the $1.9 billion center in Utah, it is really every single person on earth right now that our government is listening to. But today we're discussing the release of this information by a 29-year-old man named Douglas Snowden, S-N-O-W-D-E-N. He spells his name. A tech specialist, apparently, with the National Security Agency, contracted to NSA, but working for the consulting firm of Booz Allen Hamilton. He outed himself, he reported himself to the Washington Post and to the UK Guardian as the source of the leaks at NSA. All of the government was looking for him. The government seems far more concerned about finding the source of these leaks, just as they were in the WikiLeaks situation and in the IRS situation. They're concerned about the leaks more than they are what they were actually doing. Anyway, this man called the Washington Post and the UK Guardian and announced himself to be the source of the leaks and said he would not run and hide, but for the current time, he is staying in Hong Kong, saying that he might seek political asylum. It's a semi-autonomous country, nation-state, if you will, Hong Kong, attached to China. His motive for releasing this information, he says, and I quote, "My sole motive is to inform the public to that which is done in their name and that which is done against them," he said in a note that accompanied the first document he leaked to the Post. He wanted to tell the public what was being done in their name, he said. That was his motivation. He went on to say that he was seeking asylum from any country that believed in free speech and opposed the victimization of global privacy. But the law appears to provide for his extradition from Hong Kong, a semi-autonomous territory of China. He says he might seek political asylum in China. Well, I know he will find a lot of freedom in communist China. Good luck on that one, Mr. Snowden. Anyway, Dianne Feinstein, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, says this man should be prosecuted, she said. One unnamed official reportedly said publicly that he should be, quote, disappeared. It's interesting to me how many liberals today, our progressive friends they refer to themselves as, trust Obama. That's where they trust him, and they believe him. They like the government snooping, and they aren't afraid to admit it. When he says, no one was listening to your phone calls, they agree with him, and they trust him, that makes them feel better. They get a warm feeling in their bodies when they hear Mr. Obama say, no one is listening to your phone calls. They trust him to keep the Islamic fundamentalists off our backs. They want to see the government grow even bigger and even more powerful so it can do even more interesting things. It is fascinating to me how the views have changed over the years. I remember growing up as a young man when a liberal was really a liberal. Liberals used to uphold civil rights. When the struggle was against communism, the right was fighting communism around the world, fighting the spread of communism, fighting wars, killing people and being killed by the thousands to fight communism. But the liberals then were opposed to that. They were in favor of civil rights and they were against war. Nuclear annihilation was a serious and significant threat back then. With the spread of communism still, the liberals said, no, we have to uphold the system, uphold civil rights. Remember Daniel Ellsberg and his release of the Pentagon Papers? Remember Frank Church and the Church Committee? Remember Eugene McCarthy, George McGovern, and Robert Kennedy, all anti-war and pro-civil rights? Not so much today with our liberal progressive friends. they say that the spread of Islamic fundamentalism brings the threat of nuclear annihilation. They weren't afraid of Soviet ICBMs, but they are very much afraid of some Muslim fanatic sneaking a nuclear device into New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, especially Los Angeles, where they generally live. But today, our progressive friends are different. Take Bill Maher, famous TV liberal. He says that, and I might add, famous anti-religious bigot. Bill Maher says he likes all this surveillance. He's in favor of it. He wants it to continue and get even more so. He's terrified, he says. He's not afraid to admit it. The terrorists, as far as he is concerned, have won. They have terrified him. He is afraid of a nuclear weapon in an American city. He is so scared of that. He trusts Obama. He likes the snooping, and he wants it to continue. He says Obama keeps us free from religious nuts with nukes. Dianne Feinstein, I mentioned before, she says yes, about the same thing. She's in favor of it. She says it stopped so many terrorist attacks. She can't name too many, but she knows that it has. Daniel Ellsberg speaking in San Francisco recently at a rally opposing the snooping. Daniel Ellsberg surfacing again, the keynote speaker in a rally just down from Dianne Feinstein's mansion overlooking San Francisco Bay. Interesting turn of events. Old liberal versus new liberal. Senator Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, a big critic of the snooping. He says no, he's not in favor of it. In fact, he's going to file a class action lawsuit to stop it. He is not in favor of the growth of government to this extent. Well, some like the growing power of government. Some work for it, and some support its growth. It creates, in my mind, a growing attitude of lawlessness. Thus, the $50 million spent on retreats and conferences in 2 years by the IRS, the parties, the videos, the dances at the IRS, and now we find in the State Department ambassadors dismissing their security details to chase prostitutes and so forth. This is what we face here in America today. Our progressive friends, as I've said before, I seem to now understand what they're progressing toward. It appears to me to be some type of surveillance police state. But back here in the real working world of the U.S., meanwhile, here U.S. workers suffered the largest pay decline on record in the first quarter. Largest pay decline on record right here in the land of Mr. Hope and Change. Non-farm workers' hourly pay fell 3.8% in the first quarter, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the largest decline since records have been kept starting in 1947. Thank you, Mr. Hope and Change. That's the way I see it, folks. Monday, June 10th, 2013. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle, folks. Thanks for listening.